Boker Tov World. Today's daf in the Masechet Nazir, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Chof Chet. Lots of energy this morning, and Yitzi will soon be getting into his seat, and that will give us double the power over there. And we were holding in the middle of the Kasha that yesterday Rava was asking. We didn't get to the end of it, and I see Baruch Avram is apparently still undergoing treatment here for sitting on the edge of his chair all night. It hasn't arrived yet. Okay, hopefully he'll have a refuah shlema. And Rava was asking a further question on the assumption that the Gemara previously had made and had established, the way that we had come out, was that basically if you have a behemah's baal mum, it has the same din as ma'ot setumim. So again, the question is, what is the implication of this halacha outside of the immediate application that we were talking about, where they were stam left over? We have a very special case, remember, and the special case is that a person can utilize, this is the last sugya that we learned yesterday, a person can utilize his father's korban nezirus, which was a special halacha l'meshem Sinai, that there are circumstances, we came out according to the Girsa of the Rush, that in the event that he made his Naziris after his father died in a state of Naziris, leaving over the Mo'os for his Karban Naziris, that the son could make a Neder specifically that he wants to have a Naziris that's based on his father's Karbanos. So now it's interesting, says Rava, that this is a general sugya, because we have various psukim to teach us what the halacha would be of a korban chatas that a father left over. The father died, and remember that even though normally if the owner of a chatas dies, then the din is that that is one of the chomesh chataot hametot. But let's say that the Torah would have given, because that's a chatas shemesu baalea, but let's say that the Torah would have given the son the right to utilize the father's korban chatas, so that the son would be the owner. So then obviously it wouldn't be a chatas shemesu ba'alav, because the son is the ba'al. So therefore we need to know whether a son can utilize the chatas of a father when it comes to other issues, not the dinim of Naziris, where we have that special halacha l'meshem Sinai. Now it's going to turn out, as we saw yesterday, that that actually involves us in an understanding of the sugya of Naziris as well. Even though over here we're talking about either a chatas chelev, the chatas chelev would be a chatas that's brought on an iser kares, and we utilize chatas chelev as the general way of referring to such chataot. But we also have chataot that are chamurot, and those are chataot in which what it is that you're being mechaper for doing b'shogeg is not only an iser kares, but it's also a chi of misa. So if you're bringing a chatas, let's say on chilul Shabbat, where over there there's a chi of mita, or any of the other isur kares that are also coupled to an isur mita, so that would be called a chatas chomur. There's no nafkamina la halacha between a chatas on an isur kares and a chatas on a chi of misa. However, there might be a difference in terms of this limud. That's why I make the distinction, because the Gemara makes Masiv Rava. So let's do again from Chav Zayin Amid Beis and Masiv Rava and run through it quickly to get directly. We weren't able to complete Rava's question yesterday. We'll complete Rava's question today. Bezrat Hashem. Korbanot. So remember that what we had over here, in order to keep things clear, were three different psukim in the Torah, all of them that repeat the same basic yesodot. We had three chataot, remember, in the beginning of Vayikra. We have chatas nasi. We have a chatas yochid, which is the si'ira, as opposed to the nasi's sa'ir. And we have a chatas yochid, which is a kisva. And those are all written one after the other in the psukim. And the lashon of the psukim remarkably keeps stressing the same thing. With the nasi, it says, oh, hodai, lav chatato asher chataba. Note, chatato asher chataba, which refers to a specificity of the chatat to the chet, which seems to imply that once the chatat was taken, set aside for a particular chet, it's not usable for another chet. It's only for chatato asher chata. And then in each one of these cases, it stresses, ve'hiviat korban no. That's a different issue. It has to be his korban, not his father's korban. And it says exactly the same thing by a yachid who's bringing a korban, si'ira, for his chatas. Ohoda elav chatato asher chata. Same idea. It's got to be the exact chait that it was set aside for. Ve'hevi korbano. And then it repeats. Ve'hevi korbano si'irati zimt mimanekeva al chatato asher chata. Woo. And then when it comes to the kisba, it says not the exact same lashon, because we have at the end of the parsha repeat of the korbano, but it does say im keves yavi korbano lechatat, and we have therefore three mentions of chatato asher chataba and three mentions of korbano. Fine. What do we do with those three mentions? So Rava brings the Braita that essentially analyzes them, and the reason that he brings it is because in the context of this Braita, it's going to appear, says Rava, that we are not treating a behima that is a ba'alat mum as the equivalent of ma'ot stumim. And that's why this entire page is dedicated just to the fact that the language, according to Rava, indicates that there's a problem with the conclusion that we had yesterday, that ma'ot Situmim even include a behemat ba'alat mum, which is capable of immediate conversion into cash, right? That was the sugya that we had. And therefore, Rav is bringing all of this bright. But meanwhile, it's a beautiful limud that we are zocha to have, to see how every word in the sugya of these chata'ot is coming to teach me a specific din, legabe, a relationship of a child to a father's chata. So it starts, the bright starts with the first mention of korbano, which is in the sugya of the korban of a nasi. So there it also says, eviat korbano. This teaches us only korbano yotze, not his father's korban. Now, how do I know that that means under any and all circumstances? Maybe what the pasuk is telling me is that you cannot utilize a father's korban chatas when he's deceased for a dissimilar type of chatas. So maybe that means that you can't utilize a father's chatas that was set aside for an Isser Misa, let's say, for the son's Isser Kares, or vice versa, but perhaps you could be Yotzi B'Korban Shifrish Aviv if it's a match to the same set. Therefore, the Torah mentions again Korbano, in the sugya of a yochid bringing a si'ira, ve'vir korbano, and that comes to tell me that under any circumstances, korbano yotzei v'ni yotzei korbano shel aviv, and therefore it doesn't matter, even if it's a perfect match. Now, you might think that this is dafka lo yotzei korbano aviv be'behimah she'ifrish. Yes, I understand that. The animal has got to match completely. And that would be, even if it was a perfect match, it wouldn't matter if it doesn't belong to you. Afilu min hakala ala kala, umin hachamura ala chamura. But you know why? Because even where the Torah does give rishus to a child to bring a korban that his father had left over upon his decease, there's only one type of korban that we know about that, and that is a korban nazir. Now, by the korban nazir, remember that we established that the son cannot utilize his father's korbanas. His son can only utilize the ma'ot that the father had left over, but not the actual korban. So maybe that's the point over here. I cannot use any korban that the father left if it's an actual animal, even if it's a perfect match. But you know why? That's because sharei anadam megaleach ha'behemat aviv b'nezirut. You can't use even in nezirut a father's actual korban. But how about if a father set aside money for his korban chatas on Chilul Shabbos? So maybe over there, I could, as a son, utilize money that was set aside by the father. And maybe it wouldn't even have to be a perfect match. Maybe it could be minachamura la kala or minachala la chamura, whatever. Because after all, when it comes to Nezirut, the Torah does give special rights to a son to be megaleach on money, although, agreed, not on the animal, okay. but maybe money, none of this would apply. Therefore, we need to have, but of course, I mean, this is Bisman Shem Stumim, like we said. V'lo Bisman Shem Ufor Hashem. Yes, yes, I understand that. Therefore, I need to have yet another Korbano. Amud Lomar Korbano. And that Korbano teaches me, B'Korbano Yotzei, V'eno Yotzei B'Korban Aviv, even in the event that the father left over cash, son cannot use the cash. Now, what about an individual using money that he set aside for his own Korban Chatas for a different chet? So you might think that all that we've learned so far is the stress on the three-time repetition of Korban No. It's got to be his own. What about if it is his own? He set aside a Chatas for the chet, let's say, Chilul Shabbos. Now, he lost that Chatas, but that brought a different one. Remember, both Chataot are sitting in front of him. He wants to use this Chatas as a Chatas Chelev. Can he do that? Or vice versa. He had a Chatas Chelev. He wants to use it now for a Chatas and Chilul Shabbos. So you might think that all of this is only where he's trying to use his father's money. And that would be, even if it's a perfect matchup, that's because, okay, it's not yours. The Torah stresses thrice, Korbano, Korbano, Korbano. But what if it is Korbano? And he would be able to be Yotzi Korban Shifrish La'atzmo. If it's his own Korban, he wants to switch it now for utilization on a different chait, maybe it wouldn't even have to match. Maybe it could be Minakala La'chamura, Minakamura La'kala. Tamud Lomar Korbano Chatato. Therefore, it stresses not just has to be Korbano, but it has to be on that chait. Ach Yehe Korbano L'shem Chatao. Ah, but maybe that's only Yochel Yotzei Bebehema Shifrish La'atzmo. Maybe that's only even where it's also his own animal. He can't use that. Akala ala kala, omina chamura ala chamura. The word afilo is very messed up over here. Maybe it should have said afilo on the first part, or we just take out the afilo as the megayim or metakein. Afilo min akala ala chamura, ma chamura ala kala. Would be the opposite direction of, obviously. But that's because if you were mafrish, now let's try to think about what the situation would be. A guy set aside an actual behema for bringing on a chatas chelev. And now he wants to bring that behema for hevi al adam. He goes ahead by accident. It has to be by accident because we're going to be talking about me'ila here, and me'ila, of course, only chiv an accident. So he accidentally misuses this animal to bring as a chatas on dam, or vice versa. Al adam, evi al chelev. Now, the din over there is that he did not get himself into the mess of needing to bring a korban me'ila. And the reason that that's true is because by changing the chatas from one type of chatas to another chatas, he's not removing it in any way from the Rishus of Hegdesh, and he's not using it for any tzorech of chol. So therefore, in that case, the behemah doesn't become chulin, because it's not me'ila, and he's not mechuyav me'ila, and because of that, it has its kedusha, the kedusha that it had originally, and nothing has changed. And therefore, I must say there are other approaches to this, but this is the way that the Rosh understands it, that he wouldn't become Mi'ila over here. And because of that, he cannot be Mechaper, because he didn't have any ability to change anything in that animal. But how about if we're talking about cash? So suppose he had set aside cash for himself to be used. He made it Kodesh to be used for a Chatas, and now he uses that money for a different Chatas. So over there, maybe he actually would be Yotze. From the Kala na Kala, from the Chamura la Chamura, and even Min HaChamura la Kala, U Min HaKala la Chamura, maybe he could, because in that case, if he had set aside money for a Korban on Chelev, and he used that money al Adam, then in that case, or al adam v'alachel, and he brings alachelev, in that case, he would have been moel. Because if you try to change a behemah which is belongs Kedushas Haguf to Hegdesh, you cannot take it out Lechulin by bringing it as a different carbon. But when you have money, that is considered to be a change, and therefore you would be Mayal. And now the money becomes Chulin. So now if you use it for something else, so maybe then it would be kosher. Possibly. So Talmud Lomar, how do we know that in that case, we don't say Harema Alva Chiper? Talmud Lomar therefore repeats once again in the Pasuk, Al Chatato Asher Chata, Achie Korbano Meshem Cheto. Okay, so now we understand both in terms of the ownership and in terms of the specificity. The Torah has repeated the halacha in such a way that it makes it absolutely clear there's no way to utilize somebody else's carbon, even the father's. There's no way to utilize even your own carbon or your own money. Now, all of this, two pages, have all been brought down for the simple fact that, as we discussed in the previous case, that the Brisa seems to be talking about a behema of any kind, which is mashma, even if it was a balat mum. Because, I mean, after all, it contrasts behema to mos, right? So it's contrasting behema to mos. I mean, we can assume that we're talking about any kind of behema, even a balat mum, which means that a balat mum is actually not treated like cash. Because if it were treated like cash, so then you should be able to be yotze, right? Because it's the equivalent of leaving cash. I mean, assuming that you would be yotze with cash. But the point is that we're making the whole limud based on this distinction between a behemoth baal mum and cash. You said yesterday, with absolute commitment, that no, a behemoth baal mum is cash. Okay, well, here we see a behemoth baal mum isn't cash. Ha ha. That is Rava's question. No, says, well, who says it's talking about a baal mum? Maybe it's talking about a tamima. No, because if you're trying to tell me that a baalat mum, what would be the din of the baalat mum? The baalat mum would be like stuma. It would be like mo'ot stumim. So then why the heck do we keep changing between an animal versus cash, where all we really needed to change is an animal that's a tamima versus an animal that is a baalat mum? And that would be the full equivalent of changing between an animal and cash. And it would just keep things within the same set. I mean, what do we got to go talking about cash if we could still keep talking about an animal, just of a slightly different kind? What's this, the Gemara? I mean, come on. I mean, that is what it's talking about. Hachinami. Tell me something. What is a behemoth baal mum? What is its kedusha? What is it good for? You bring another mizbeach? No. It's good for cash. Exactly. So that's cash. That's the point. It's worth, it's my chazia, ledani, it's worth its value. Well, last I heard, the word for value is cash. So therefore, if I'm talking about cash, I'm talking about an animal that is therefore its value. It was the same, basically same sugya that we had yesterday, but meanwhile, we got this fantastic opportunity to understand the nature of specificity in the context of the Korbanos Hazeiros, where we had a local measure. We've seen that it did allow a son. We want to make it very clear contextually. What is the relationship between father and son in this particular thing? And it turns out that we have done something very sneaky, which the Gemara always does because of its multi-leveled hypertexting. So what it's really doing is introducing the interrelationship, which has been left for much later in the Masechta. The interrelationship of Naziris between father and son, as opposed to the sugya that we take for granted throughout the beginning, and which we're getting to the end of over here, which is the question of hafara, where we have a din of hafara of father to daughter. We never knew there was any connection at all of father to son. And it turns out that, wow, hey, there's this very special din about a utilization of a carbon of a father between a father and a son. Is there any other hidden, mysterious connection between father and son and the Zeres? Well, it turns out that there sure as heck is, and we're going to get to that Mishnah today, But before we do, let's wrap up and conclude the inyanim of where it is that the Baal can be made for, because we've been talking all along here about the implications of the Baal's hafara to the karbanas that are left in the event that he was made for, right? Remember that we had four different examples. This was Shmuel's challenge. Okay, here's your question. Tell me the four cases where you're going to be bringing the carbon without lechem. Eyal Nozer, go ahead. So we had shalom and shalah. So the shalah, what was that talking about? That was the shalah in the case that the Baal was made for. What was the shalom? The shalom was where a father made his son a nozer. Oh my gosh, that's exactly what we're doing over here. We are actually juxtaposing the shalom v'shalah, as we'll see in a minute. We're first going to conclude the cases where the Baal was made for the Isha's neder, Naziras, and she had brought the karbanas. And remember, that's how we started the whole sugya. What happens to the karbanas that the woman set aside, and who owned the karbanas? Was it the husband's karbanas, or was it her karbanas? A whole big jazz that we got into in this perek. So now, wrapping it all up, suppose Baruch Avram has had a hard night in the emergency room, and we can forgive him for closing his eyes, but we just hope that the refuah, which was getting to the end of Rava's question, wasn't missed. And that's very important. That's all we need, is to have wasted the whole night in the emergency room. So anyway, the next Mishnah now wants to know what happens if we already did the Zrikas Hadam of the Karbanas. Because up until the time that she's bringing the Karbanas, it's like the last minute, right, of the Naziris. And he finds out about it at the last minute. So what happens? Well, I mean, that was the original question. He could still be Mefer. I mean, it's still a netter of Inui Nefesh. If he wants to have a drink, you know, she can't drink with him. So that, we said, he could be Mefer. And then we have to determine, okay, what's the status of the animals that she set aside? We went to the whole lima, depends who owned the animals, etc., right? That's how we got into the difference between the leftovers animals and the halacha l'mashe mi-Sinai, that money can be nifal to the carbon for kaitz ha-mizbeach. All these issues are very intimately intertwined. But how about if we already did the zrika of the dam of one of the karbanas on the mizbeach? Now, at that moment, as we're going to see, any of the karbanas whose dam was nizrak ala mizbeach removes from her all of the Isurim. She can now drink wine, and she can become Tmeyah, and so on. So therefore, there is no Inui Nefesh. And if there is no Inui Nefesh, so then at that point, the husband can't be made for anymore. So Eino Yochol Lafer. Rabbi Akiva Eimer. Forget about the question of whether you were Zorek the Dam of any of these Korbanos. Even if you shechted the karba, that would be sufficient to make it impossible for the Baal to be made for her neder. Now, that sounds like, on the surface, it sounds like Rabbi Akiva is saying that once you even shechted the karba, that then there's no inui nefesh. But that is certainly not true. Nobody holds that the shechita of a karba is sufficient to bring any level of kapara. It's obviously Zrikas Hadam, and only Zrikas Hadam, that the Torah keeps stressing. The keeper is in terms of dam. So what in the world is Rabbi Akiva talking about, even if you just did the shechita? Then the Gemara suggests that Rabbi Akiva's take on this is that obviously there is no reason why the Baal can't be made from midiraisa. It's just that the Rabbanan said, do not be mefer. Why? Because then we're going to have to throw out the carbon. If you already did the shechita, well, what are you going to do now? You're going to do the zrikas hadam as the zrikas hadam for a nazira. She is not a nazira. So what are you going to do? You're going to put dam in the mizbeach that's not going to be usable? If there's no dam, then you're not going to be matir the basar bachila either. So what's going to happen? We're going to end up burning this carbon as a kachim psulim. That's horrible. Therefore, in order to avoid this hafsid and bizoyan for kachim, the Rabbanan said the Baal should not be made for once we already did the shechita. So that's our upfront take on Rabbi Akiva. We'll get into the details in Rabbi Akiva as we go through the Gemara. So therefore, says Rabbi Akiva, even if one of these behemoths wasn't even dam on the Mizbeach, which is Nishchat, we do not want to waste the kachim. And therefore the Rabbanit said, do not be mefer. Now, remember, all of this is talking about the last moment of the Tiglachat Tahara, because the Tiglachat Tahara, it's overs. I mean, she doesn't have any more painful things that are going to come that the husband could say, well, I mean, this is terrible. This is Nidra Yinoi Nefesh, or maybe Dvarim Be'Nila Ve'Nah, as we'll see. So that's only B'Tiglachat Tahara. It's over at this point. But if this were the Tiglachat Tuma'ah, oh my gosh, then she's got to keep the whole Naziris again. So then obviously the husband can say, what are you nuts? I'm going to be made for now because I don't want her to get into this whole business. I don't want her to have to keep all those extra days and so on. And therefore, I am canceling this neder. Forget about it. So in that case, even after we brought the karbonas, there would be no reason for him not to say, I don't want this. I don't want a woman who is disgusting, carrying out all these aesthetic issues, believing that it's not right. She's supposed to be a vegetarian or worse, a vegan. I mean, for God's sake, I never married a woman like that. And now she's not drinking wine. And this is awful. So because of that, of course, he can be Mefer the Netter. Rabbi Meir or Rabbi, we're not clear what the Gerza is, says, well, he could say the same thing, even if it's the Tiglachat Tahara, because when do you do the actual Tiglachat? Huh? When? After you bring the Karbanas. As opposed to Tiglachat Tuma, remember, first you do the Tiglachat, then you bring the Karbanas. Tiglachat on Yom Shvi'i, the Karbanas on Yom Shmini, in the case of a standard neder, Naziris, then you do the Havas HaKorbanais, and then you do the Tiglachas, and the hair is put underneath the El Nazir, right? But Rabbi Meir says, I don't care if we're talking about the Tiglachas Tahara, because if all that's been done so far is the Zrikas HaDam, of course the husband can say, I am made for the Neder. Because if he's not made for the Neder, he's going to be left with, I'm looking for a bald-headed woman. Nobody wants no bald-headed woman. These could say, I don't want my wife to have a tiglachat. What are you, crazy? You think I'm some kind of Hungarian chassid or something? Absolutely not. And therefore, ef shibi shamigulachat. I do not want a woman with a bald head. And therefore, and the Gemara says, I understand. And the Tanakhama believes that a man wants a woman with a bald head. That's insane. That the Gemara is going to ask. Okay. All right. So now, what we've seen in the Mishnah is that definitely if the dam of one of the korbanos has gotten to the Mizbeach, for sure, there's no iser of yayin or anything else. And the only problem that we got to was the problem that she's still going to have to shave, and that question of shaving her hair that the husband certainly does not want. Now, that assumption is not necessarily true, because the Masis is not apparently going alibi to Reb Eliezer. Because as we saw in Reb Eliezer earlier, Reb Eliezer holds that Tiglachat is me'akevet. And even if she brought all of her korbanos and has not as yet done the Tiglachat, she cannot drink wine either. She cannot be mitamet, lemet. And therefore, all of this discussion in the Mishnah would be moot. And it's clear, therefore, that the Mishnah is not going to leave the Reb Eliezer. It's taken for granted that if you actually did one of the korbanos, got to the Mizbeach, then that's it. So according to Reb Eliezer, kiven delo gilcha asira b'chamra, if she hadn't done the Tiglachat, then she wouldn't be allowed to drink wine. And therefore, that itself is called nivul, because she is in a state of being unable to participate in the cocktails. And kiven de itla nivul, that itself would be a reason to be mefer, matzi mefer. As far as the machlokas, I mean, there's a girsa that say, ubaha pligi, but even if not, obviously the Mishnah has talked about a machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Akiva. What would be the machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Akiva? Because Rabbi Akiva certainly cannot hold that just shechting a carbon is enough to achieve the equivalent of Akrabas HaKorban. That's nutty. I mean, nobody would say such a thing. So why would Rabbi Akiva say, even if you just shechted the carbon, he can no longer be made for? What would be the explanation of such a thing? So Tana Kama, our Tana, holds that Kivat is Darik al Adam, the moment that the Dam gets the Mizbeach, that's it. La'al Tasharya b'chamra. She's at this point immediately muteret to drink wine. When it says chamra, doesn't mean only wine. It means all of these serenos here. And because of that, there's no more basis for hafara, less la nivul. I mean, there's no neder over here of inui nefesh. As Rabbi Akiva holds, that's true. However, even after you do the shechita, the rabbanon were gozer that inu yachol hafer. Why? Because you're going to end up being mafsid kachim. You shechted the carbon. You cannot be mzurik the dam l'shem nezirus because there is no nezirus. So, therefore, what are you going to do? If you can't do the zirik as a dam, then you're not going to be able to eat the basar, and the whole carbon will be asar. And if the carbon is asar, you're going to have to throw it out or burn it. That's terrible. So because of hefsid kachim, the rabbanon were gezer not to allow the husband to do the hafara. Excuse me? Hefsid kachim, what's your problem, Rabbi Akiva? What kind of hefsid kachim? You're telling me you can't do the zrika because she's not a nizira, so how can I do the zrika for a nizira that doesn't exist? I said, don't do the zrika for the nizira, for heaven's sakes. Fake it, man. Fake it. What, do you want to go ahead and burn the kachim? Just do the zrika. Hey, guy, what's the zrika for? Whatever. Do the zrika. If you do the zrika, so then if a zrika is done, shalol l'shmav v'nazir, it's certainly kosher. It's not oyla l'balim l'shem chova, but there is no chova, so who the heck cares? And we actually, says Rabbi Zera, we actually have a psak like this, that this is what you are mechuyev to do. In a particular case, we're talking about the case of the zivchei shalmei tzibor. Now, zivchei shalmei tzibor are the korbanos that are brought on Shavuos, and they are matir the shtei alechem. And if a mistake was done on the zivchei shalmei tzibor, and it was shechted shelo lishma, or maybe you shechted them before Shavuos or after Shavuos, what do you do? You do a zrika for shelo lishma, and then you eat them. And they're perfectly kosher. So Matsky Flor Rabbi Zera against Rabbi Akiva, who claims that we've got a big problem of Hefsid Kachim. Where is your problem of Hefsid Kachim? Lizrog damam shalo lishman. Just go ahead and be Zerik the Dam anyway. Of course you can't be Zerik the Dam for a Nazira if there is no Nazira. So don't be Zerik it for a Nazira. That way the Basar will be Mutter Ba'achila. I mean, we have a Beferish Abraisa that tells us to do precisely that when it comes to the Kivsei Atzeret. Milo Tanya, that Kivsei Atzeret that were shechted shelo lishma, or maybe they were shechted before Shavuos, or maybe they were shechted Akshva, I don't know, whatever the heck it is, but the bottom line is, we're going to be mafsid them. Do the Zrika, and then eat the Basar of the Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur, which have a din of Katshe Katshim, but the Shlomim Katshe Katshim, and the Basar Yeachel. I agree, if it's Shabbos, you can't do that. Why? Because on Shabbos, you're not going to be able to bring the Emurim on Shabbos, right? You're going to have to wait for after Shabbos. And there's certainly no heter to bring to do anything on Shabbos, b'derabonin. There's no heter to do anything on Shabbos that's going to be a tikkun. So let's say, can you take off trumas and maizos on Shabbos? No. So over here, you would be being matir on Shabbos, something which is not needed right now as part of your Shabbos, and even many cases where it is, you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. You can't take off Trumas and Maizos usually. So therefore, for Shabbos, I agree, Lo Yisroch. But the truth is that even on Shabbos, if you did the Zrika, it would also be kosher, you know, if you were over on the Muktzah, the Yisr. So, but Im Zorak, then it would be Hurtzah. And that way, that tonight, after Shabbos, you could still be Makter the Emurim, because you could bring the Emurim at the nighttime. Anyway, says Rabbi Zera, so what's your problem? So if the husband was mefer, the Naziris of his wife, after the Shechita, go right ahead, do the Zrika, and don't lose the carbon. Why would the Rabbanan make an iser if there's not really going to be any loss? So I don't get it. Answers the Gemara, you would be absolutely right, Rabbi Zera, if we were talking about a case where the carbon in question that had been shechted was the carbon oil or the carbon shlamim. Okinami. There's no problem of zrika shelo lishma on a shlamim or on an oila. But what's the din of a chatas of zrika shelo lishma? Zrika shelo lishma itself patzels a carbon chatas, correct? That's the opening Mishnah in Zvachim. So if you did the zrika shelo lishma, you're going to have to throw out that chatas, man. So that's what Rabbi Akiva was talking about. He wasn't talking about the case where you had shechted one of the karbanas, meaning any one of the karbanas, including the oil of the shlamim. You're right. If it was the oil of the shlamim, the rabbanah didn't ask the husband from canceling it because there won't be any loss. Since the normal case, we're going to see later on anyway, that the normal case is that you first begin with the shechita of the chatas. So Rabbi Akiva is referring to that case. You shechted the carbon chatas, and now you can't do the zrikas hadam if you're going to be made for the neder. Therefore, don't be made for the neder. But ain't a chinami if you had done it in an unusual fashion. It's not ma'akiv, so you could do it in the other fashion. But if you had done it in the other fashion, so then fine. Rabbi Akiva wouldn't have argued with the Tanakhama, and he would have said, okay, there's no problem. Let the baal still be made for until the zrikas hadam. Okay, kiddit's not. Im gilach alachat mishloshtam yatzah. I mean, you don't need any particular one. And what Rabbi Akiva was saying, if you shecht it on one, he meant on the chatas. Fine. Okay. Then the Mishnah says, when do we say all of this, that stafka b'tiklachat tahara, because there's no longer any additional pain that the woman is going to be going through. But if you're talking about the tiklachat tumam, she's going to have to keep another 30 days or may, who knows how long it was for, of the zeros. Well, so of course the husband can be made for her. I don't want a woman that's going to have 30 days of pain now. And Rabbi Meir says that he can say, I do not want a bald-headed wife. So, b'med dvar mamrim, let's just quote the Mishnah on this. B'med dvar mamrim b'tiklacha tohara, ava b'tiklacha tuma yafer, v'den shi yocha lomar yafshi b'isha minuvelet. And Rabbi Meir omer, no, afilo b'tiklacha tohara yafer, v'pnei shi yocha lomar yafshi b'isha megulacha. Now, since the Gemara says, what are you're telling me that the Tana Kama does not hold that a husband does not want a bald-headed woman? What are you talking about? The Tanakhama? What are we arguing about? Oh, the Tanakhama says, what, are you crazy? She can buy a $2,000 shaitel, you know? She'll look even better than her own messy hair. So let her wear a shaitel. And Rabbi Meir says, a shaitel? Disgusting! Be'anokrit. I want my wife wearing somebody else's hair? Are you crazy? Or looking like a Barbie doll with plastic hair? No way. Rabbi Meir holds a pea nochrit idi de zoama. It's disgusting. Lo nechala, you cannot substitute for my wife's pretty hair a shaitel. I don't know what people do with this one, but okay. So there we go. So the machlokis between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim is normatively, is a shaitel disgusting? Or not. And that's what the Machlokes boils down to. Now, we're ready for our dear, oh, so Richard.
I thought, Rabbi, that I relieved of duty since my long absence, probably, what is it called? Because on the last Mishnah, we went right over it without a proper introduction.
And Barnea didn't even say anything. You know what? We could redo the daf. You want to start from there?
No, Rabbi was in flow. I didn't want to interrupt.
I can't believe it. Apparently, just a visit to London creates an entirely new sense of propriety in Derech Eretz and changes one's personality just because you're sitting among civilized people. I cannot believe this. Barnea didn't want to interrupt the flow. What happened? Okay. Good. And we get to the very moment that we've seen that the Gemara has been secretly and mysteriously alluding to all along, namely, Ha'ish Madir et Beno Ben Azir, an incredible halacha. A father can make his son a Nazir, a son who is a Katan, and all he has to do is say, my son is a Nazir. Or he could say to his son, repeat after me, kiddo, I am a Nazir. No, repeat after me, ah! We'll see. What if the kid does say no and ah and so on? Now, that might not work. All to be explained in a moment. But this is a special halacha. In the same way that there's a special halacha of the Av and the Bat when it comes to the dinim of Nedarim and Naziris, so too is there a special halacha of an Av and a son. So Aish Madirat Beno Ben Azir, but a mommy does not have the right. Ein Aisha Madirat Beno Ben Azir. Remarkable. So, in the event, however, it's best to leave out the word Ketzad, like the Rosh suggests. If the son protests, how does he protest? Well, he goes to the local barber. He says, do me a favor, get rid of this fast before my dad gets here. So if he was Megaleach, or for that matter, he's got an auntie, he says, your father's a nut. I always told my sister your father's a nut. I'm taking you to the barber. So she goes and she shaves his hair. So Gilach or Shugichul Krovav, but for that matter, even if the son says, but dad, I don't want to be a Nazir. I don't want to be a Nazir. Oh, no, dad, I don't want to be a Nazir. Or auntie says, I don't want a nephew who's a Nazir. That's enough. And just a Micha'ah is enough. Micha'ah Shemichu Krovav. So then what? The whole thing is canceled. Now, what if Haitalo Be'imah Mufreshet? And now we get to the case of Shelo. Remember, we've been talking about the four cases. First case was Shela, where the husband has been made for the Isha. The second case was Shelo, which was talking about where the equivalent of Hafara, in this case of Micha'ah, takes off an Aziris, for which he, the father, because once he makes his son a Nazir, he's the one responsible to bring the Karbanas, and he had set aside the Karbanas. So what's the din of those Karbanas? And this is the actual case that we talked about way back in the beginning, that we bring the Karban, but there is no din of lechem, even though there is a halacha of the hakrova with the same din, that you only have one day instead of the normal 2 days in order to be eating it. So therefore, in the event that he had a korban chatas set aside, the chatas is a chatas hamesa, and it's tamut. If he set aside an oila, then the oila is not brought as an oila tzibor. It's just an oila that you bring as an adava for whatever you want yourself. The shlomim, same thing. You bring that as a nidvas shlomim. V'ne'achalim le'yom echad, and we've already seen this, that in the case that you have an El Nozer that's being brought not for purposes of Naziris, it still has one din of the El Nozer that's left. We actually said that this is Machlokas Rishonim. We were taking the Rambam's approach and the way that the Arsameach explained it. And that is that clearly there are two completely separate parshas, one of which talks about the amount of time that you have available to eat. And that has two specifications. The special time of a Karban Teidah, in which the shlomim becomes the equivalent in terms of the zman achila of kodshei kodshim, and it's only one day, and the case of El Nozer, which has nothing to do with the lechem and the waving, and it's being usher, the zroya b'shela being usher to anyone but a kohen. None of that applies. There are rishonim who say that it does apply. We've been going according to the Rambam. But ain't unto uni lechem. How about if you have ma'ot setumim? You see the way the entire sugya is interwoven so beautifully. So what if you have the ma'ot setumim? So then we have that halakha l'mashmi Sinai, money that has been set aside for Naziris. This is another case setting aside for Naziris, even though Naziris have been. So then it all goes for Nidava, which is the Nidava Tzibur, which is Kaitz HaMizbeach. Ma'ot mefurashim. Demei chatat, yochuli amamelach, lo neni velo moalim. It's obviously usur to be nene if you're not supposed to be utilizing the demei chatas. But it's certainly no chiev of me'ila if you do, because it's useless. It's not kachem, the miuchat kach Hashem. And the Deme Ola, well, that's real money for a kosher Ola, and therefore, if you take it, B'shogeg, you'd have to bring a Korban Me'ila. Deme Shalomim, Yaviu Shalomim, and there we're not going to discuss the Deme Me'ila, obviously, because it depends on before Zrika, Acher Zrika. And the special halacha is, Ne'acholim L'yom Echad, Ve'inan Te'unin Lechem. So, this whole halacha is a special din in a relationship between a man and his son. Interesting. Why not a mommy and her son? So, dafke ish, in aval ish alo. I mean, where does this whole thing come from? My time, I like, sounds like it's extremely arbitrary. Says Rabbi Yochanan, and it certainly is extremely arbitrary. It's about as arbitrary as you can get. It's halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. And this is the way the good Lord wants his world, that there is a special relationship that is recognized between Av Ubno, and that has nothing to do with the woman and her son. That's, again, Rabbi Yochanan's approach. Again, Reish Lakish argues, disagrees with this halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai business with the Naziris and all these special dinim, that Rabbi Yochanan was Mekabel, and he was a Mekabelin, and says, therefore, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, in the name of Reish Lakish. No, this whole thing is a Drabbanan. And actually, the Drabbanan said, if you want to train, I mean, let's say you live in Sparta, right? So, I mean, we're not talking about these effeminate Athenians. So you live in Sparta. You want to train your son to be a real man. Well, real men don't eat wine quiches. And so because of that, you're going to be mechanichim l'mitzvahs, and we're going to teach you to do without, my son. You're going to have to do without your wine. No, Daddy, not without wine. Well, okay. So this is the idea. It's a din in chinuch. So we're going to train him to delay gratification. See that delicious cup of wine? 30 days, my boy. 30 days. Okay. So ask the Gemara, but if that's the point, that it's a drabbanan that creates a status of nazir, of course, we're going to be talking about what do you mean? How can you bring korbanas nazir? What does that mean? I mean, you can't do that. All right, but we'll leave that for tomorrow. But what about mommy? I mean, so why can't mommy be mechanech her child? Ihochi afilu ishanami? Ah, Reish Lakish holds that the din of chinuch habonim is only on the male. So, kasavar ish chayav lechanech beno b'mitzvot, ve'ena isha chayevet lechanech et bina. So, the idea, therefore, according to Reish Lakish, then actually many Rishonim point out this is really a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, besides the other machlokas about Nazir, meaning about the halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai of Nazir, there is actually a machlokas in that Reish Lakish holds that the din of chinuch is a function of the din of limud Torah. And therefore, since there's no chiyuv on a mother of limud Torah or to be melamedet Torah, therefore there's also no mitzvah of chinuch. Masha enken, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's a separate halacha, and therefore, according to him, a woman would be chayav in chinuch, except that this has nothing to do with chinuch. This has to do with halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. Now, this remains an actual machlokas ad hayom. There's no clear cut psak here, because the way the Trumas Hadeshen paskins is that there is a chiyav of chinuch, like Rabbi Yochanan, both on the father and on the mother. And the interesting raya, by the way, that he brings, which many of the Rishonim talk about, is Heleni Amalka. So there was Heleni Amalka sitting in her super fabulous Chinuch Habonim Sukkah, where every one of them had their sukkah that was the correct shear and the whole thing, and Komasel, Loasel, Pichachomim, etc., etc. What was she doing? She's not Mechuyevet in Chinuch? Aha! So you see, she was being mechanechet the bonim, and the chachomim were telling her how it is that she has to do it. So you see, obviously, that a mother is mechuyevet in the chinuch habonim. Of course, some taina that Heleni Amalka didn't seem to have a husband. So maybe virgin births are different. No, that's not what they tell. They tell him maybe there was in the event that there's no husband, then the mother kicks in. I mean, that's possible. I mean, there are shittas like this that say that that in a case where there's no husband, of course, the mother would do it. Okay. However, we have other paskin, including none other than Marami Rottenberg, who paskins indeed that, you see, from our Gemara, we don't see that with this machlokas here, that a woman is not mechuyevet in chinuch. Okay, so that means that these issues are still very much nogea, and of course the question is whether in the event that there is no one to be mechanech, is there at least a derabbanan that a woman should kick in and take care that her children are given the correct chinuch? There's whole svarim that are written about this sugya, but anyway, here is one of the primary rayas from this sugya to this issue. We'll continue the differences between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow, if the good Lord grants us